we're just going to dive back into radical total depravity and start marching through the scripture, which if it's not in the scripture and all our implications are there, then they're not. We might as well just dispose of them. So I will go briefly through some of the points, the main points of total or radical depravity, and then we'll get back into the scripture and see if those come out. Do you have an extra copy? Yeah, well, do you guys want to share? You have a... That's Viola's?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So we're good. We'll share.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Perfect. Thank you.
Nice.
Okay, and then today we'll just be going through scripture, and you can mark in your Bibles or underline if you don't have a piece of paper. But so the main points, if you haven't been here the last couple of weeks, the main points we've pulled is mankind's hearts are naturally evil and full of wickedness. Okay, so from birth, Adam's sin is imputed on his lineage, which all of his sin is also taken from him and put on us. And later we'll see how Christ's love and forgiveness is, and righteousness is imputed from him onto us to save us. We are all spiritually dead essentially at war in our sin against God until we are saved. We pulled that implication of, can a dead person bring themselves back from death? Can a spiritually dead person save themselves? God needs to act on our behalf so that we can profess faith or choose him. Our choice is dependent on his act. No act, no choice. Talk about the order of salutis, the order of salvation. And how does the above positions affect the how and order in which we are saved by God? So we went all through that last week, fairly lengthy. Hopefully we flesh that out. We need to go back to it. We can do a separate study later on. But now, I think it's the third or fourth page. Actually, one, two, three, four, five. The fifth page will have all the scripture on it that we'll go to. I highlighted some just to make sure we hit those, and we may pop around to a few others. But let's start in Genesis 6. Would anybody like to read that? Anybody have their Bibles out yet? I can read this first one. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of thoughts of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Any thoughts from that passage? The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There's no lack of evil in the unsaved heart. The intention even of his thoughts of his heart was evil continually. So hopefully this gives us, as we discuss what our unsaved hearts are like, hopefully this will give us the clue into, are we good? Are we basically good? Are we basically bad?
They don't elaborate.
Mm-hmm. Sure. It was an evil world that did cause the mass wipe out of nearly everything. Correct. Mm-hmm. Well, and it didn't end. If we go to 821, over to 821, this was after the flood. 821, and when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. So it didn't end, the corruption and the evil didn't end before the flood. It even implies that I'm going to have to say this because man's evil and the intent of his heart is still the same as pre-flood as it is post-flood. So there wasn't a magic switch. Okay, now everything's fixed and we're starting back over here. According to our culture, right. And yeah, and we'll talk about that later. We've talked about that. Is man basically good or basically bad? To the root of his nature. And here, evil from his youth. As we flip, let's flip to Isaiah 64:6. Someone want to read this when they get there? Okay. Okay, good. I'll read the ESV. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. So what do we see there? What implications can we draw from that? Right, still stained. Yeah, I mean, you put clean water through a dirty cloth, the water is no longer clean. Right. That's good. This, good. We have all become, yes. The one who is unclean has the idea of unfit to stand before God, okay? If we are all, we have all become unclean, none of us are fit to then stand before God. We are all unable to, unless something happens, be saved and stand before God in all eternity. So something, there's the implication as well. Unless there's an activity done for us, we are not going to stand before God. Ben?
You all start out.
Yeah. From point one, from conception in the womb, we are unclean. And that goes back all the way to Adam, right? We'll come to that actually later. Anything else?
This point, just raised the idea of money.
How are we? No. But right, yeah, it is there. Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay, so you're saying you have uncleanness, you have cleanness, and then holiness, right? Okay. Ben, did you raise your hand again?
Perfectly spotless, clean, white.
Yes, we talked about the process of sanctification as we're being cleaned, but it is right. When you say Christ is the one who's given us clean garments, right. You're presupposing that it is Christ who gave us that. It wasn't us, right? And because of that, we will stand in holy, clean garments at the end. Yeah, thank you. Okay, so let's flip to the New Testament. We'll flip to John. We'll first be in John 3. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great question. So in the Old Testament, we see a lot of the references of the heart of hearts and the Holy of Holies. So the Holy of Holies in the temple is the, as Andrew was alluding to before, you have these categories, and it goes from the Holy of Holies, holiest of holiests, from the very innermost where God would dwell. It's the utmost holy, and it works its way out to the unholy. The heart of hearts is would be their phrase for the soul. The heart of hearts, the innermost you, as far as it can go. That, because of course the heart is just the pump, biological pump pushing blood through our heart or through our body. The heart of hearts, referring to our soul, the innermost being of us, that where even through our heart of hearts to the deepest hearts, our innermost being is stained and filthy. And those thoughts that come from there, everything that comes there is stained. So if something is rooted, okay, if there has to be that first spot, like you're saying, there has to be the first point of the thought, of any of everything, right? So if there is the thought that comes up is coming from the heart. Jesus says the things that come from the mouth come from the heart. Okay, so everything that comes out is from your heart. Yeah, and so the heart of hearts coming from the soul, innermost being, not the biological pump. And that's
why in the, were you here when we talked about regeneration last week? Okay, when our heart of hearts is softened so that we can even start thinking and viewing Christ as who he properly is and start viewing the Father and the Trinity, who they are. Correct. Yeah, how can we unharden our hardened hearts that is coming from Adam's sin from the beginning? Okay, is that okay? Yep, and even if the brain is where the thoughts reside, it's coming from our souls. I mean, once we die, the brain shuts down. That's not where it ends. The brain isn't going out of the brain, head and up to heaven. It's the soul.
It's also brings to the problem of what is a soul and what is spirit.
Sure. Sure.
It's all dovetailed together.
That's dovetailed.
Good definition.
Well, it would take so long to define that properly. Yeah.
Their only interest was doing. That's why thoughts were continually evil. They probably never gave a second thought to anything good. They kind of could think.
Okay, and why? Why do you think that is? So the step before that is what I'm alluding to.
Because they were already evil.
Right.
They were always sinners. But that's complicated by the next with angels.
So you're talking about the Nephilim?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. But Adam wasn't contaminated by angels, right? So everything before that, yes, they come down and it gets in the mix and it muddies everything up before the flood. And
after Adam and the initial sin that gets imputed on the rest of his generation. But I agree with you how their thoughts were wicked, and that's why they were doing things. But also, their thoughts were wicked because their souls, their heart of hearts,
right,
was wicked before that. And
right.
Right, okay. So yeah, I agree with you in a way. And some. So, was that good? Did we have anything else?
No grace, no mercy.
Okay. So John 3, are we there? So John 3, 5 through 7. Who would like to read that one? Okay. Yep. Okay, and so we got Diane and Ben touched on this on the last time, but anything else? What comes to your minds as we read that? It's a little deeper in this passage. More of it's being implied through the metaphors. Flesh is evil. Mm-hmm. Flesh is polluted by sin. Yeah.
Ran away with that.
Okay. One sec, Carolyn.
Yeah.
That would be. I would encompass that in most of the order of salvation. What I'm alluding to is, and it was reminded to me well by the Carson videos, what does birth imply? If we are the ones being born, okay? Excellent, yes.
New person.
Okay, but who does the birthing? Not you, okay,
yes.
Right? So, in that mindset, we have the becoming a new person because we are evil in our flesh, but then it's not us, as we're infants who were born. Was it okay, time to go, okay, now just set aside, mom, just relax and you don't have to do a thing? No, that's part. She does labor at it. Well, yes, okay, but the action being born again, part of the metaphor is, we are not who is doing this. We are born again by the act of someone else. Okay, Ben. And then Miranda.
I'm going to complicate things slightly. You said that talking to the unbelieving crowd,
mm-hmm,
that he was teaching, that especially the Pharisees, that you are born, or you are of your father, the devil. You are not of God. And from that point of view, say that we are born, initially, we're born in the flesh, yes, but we're also born spirit of the devil.
In a sense, I could go there with you. If we rewind all the way back to Adam, okay, in the sin that was birthed there, and we're, because of the sin being of the, sin is not of the Holy Father, it would be the Father, the Prince of the Spirit of the air, and we'll go to Ephesians 2 soon. But in a sense, yes, born into the Prince of this world, the Prince of Darkness, but then being born again. Okay, yeah, so I see where you're going. Andrew. I'm sorry. One second, Randa. You were next. Okay, Andrew, go ahead.
Just to go back one minute. One of the things that we have to do is frequently
Yeah, not a genetic connection, but functional for those listening. Anything else from there that Miranda, yeah. Correct. That's the also the connection with the idea of adoption. Well, it was so warm and comfy, and you were as close to mama as you could be. That's right. But that's also pure and good in part of the analogy to say we were dead in our sins and we loved it. Yes. Right. I'm with you. Okay, so we'll go to John 3:19. 19 through 21. Thank you. Any thoughts on that one? Yes. Correct. One of the implications we've drawn, and we will draw again, that bad people can do good things. Okay. Anyone else? Amen. Yes, it is God who is doing the good works through you. It is God who is causing the good works. We've already drawn the implication of being born again, that who are those who are in the darkness from the beginning? Okay, all of us once were. Some are still in the darkness, but some who came to the light, so that could happen, Holly, of what you said. But everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light. What? Yep, and we'll come, I don't know if we'll come to that one, but we'll come again to, I think in 1 Corinthians, we'll touch on that again. But I lost my track. I think I was in the light because people love the darkness rather than light because their works were evil. Andrew. There's a day that all this will be revealed. Yeah, we're hiding in our sin. Ben?
It's like being God. You can't be drawn to the light, truth, unless God reveals that truth to you so that you can go to the light.
Right. And we'll get there too. And we'll make sure that's from Scripture. Both. Earl.
Well, I think, yeah, and I think that's a more fleshed out version of what Andrew is saying of it's not just love of sin, it is also hatred, the warfare against God. Sure. Oh, yeah. We love the things that are in the world. And okay, John 6. How about someone new? John 6, 44. You will? Okay. Is that, I think that's kind of the mic drop of this whole topic. It can't be any more clear. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And then the second part is, those who are drawn to him, I will raise him up on the last day. That goes, Ben, I think you just mentioned this, that those, as we've come through here, those who are evil, those who love their sin, those who hate God, none of them, this is where we go, well, what if they just, I think they're just good, I think they're just searching. And if we just send them off to the seeker-sensitive church, not that they're completely bad, if one of them listens to this lecture, but if we send them there, they're just searching. They're searching. Is it true? No. The truth of it is, no one can come to me. No one is going to search for me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So it may be true to say they're not searching. Maybe the Father is drawing him to him.
So therefore, is the Father able to be fixed on the basis of drawing
him? No. And only for time saving. Just one word answer. Okay, so the next one. I hope that one. Any questions on that one? Statement. Okay. Yeah. Romans 3. Yep, and that's in a couple more passages. Yep. Perfect. That's why I love having the Reformed veterans in the group, because they're always three steps ahead of where I'm at. But I agree, because now we'll hear it twice and we'll have it memorized, and I'll give a quiz next time. Carolyn? That is a good question. I would say two things. Yes, and almost. He may be drawing you to regeneration, possibly, or it is the, as I'm drawing you, I'm softening your heart so that you may choose me, that you may look at me. Mm-hmm. Retroactively. There were those who were in faith. Noah was counted as righteous because of his faith. Abraham was chosen. This is Galatians. Abraham was chosen because of his faith. Who was? Okay. Okay, so there are a lot of statements there, and not.
Okay, and so I'm going to pause that conversation there because that a lot of this happened last week, and I really want to mow through this. So thank you for your question. Thank you for the response. So that was 644. Same chapter, 64 through 65. Anyone else would like to read that? We are in chapter 6, verse 64 and 65. Oh, we're still in John. Same chapter, 6, 64, 65. I'll just go ahead and read it. But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." So a few things. We'll come to this again, but Jesus did know. The Father and the all three, Trinitarian, all knew from the beginning those who were to believe and those who did not believe, or who would to come who did not believe, and who would betray him. And this is why Christ could tell them that no one can come to him unless the Father, it is granted to him by the Father. We're just going to jump to Romans 3. Got a few minutes left, and we can pick up and finish the rest of them next time as well. Romans 3, 9 through 18, and I have there's a note there to note the Old Testament references. So hopefully your Bible is putting footnotes there so you can go back and look those up. But 3, 9 through 18, anyone would like to read those? Andrew? That's good. So that one, this is one to also, when someone asks you about this topic, this is one to keep loaded, ready to answer with, that none is righteous, no, not one, no one understands, and no one seeks for God. And that goes back to something you'd said, Greg brought this up, Pastor Greg, before, that who seeks God? Well, none. No one seeks for God. Who is good and who is righteous? None is righteous. No, not one. Verse 13, their throat is an open grave. Some translate that as open sepulcher. It is an open grave that is filled with death. Their throat is an open grave. Nothing good that is coming out from it. Their tongues, they use their tongues to deceive. This whole passage is explaining the human condition before regeneration in Christ, whenever that may happen. Go back last week if you want to listen to how we worked that out. But we're not good. No, not good. That echoes the John passage. It's not in here, but verse 23 in the same chapter, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." I only bring that up because it is a gift. We are born, we are adopted, we are given a gift. It is not something that we earned by ourselves. Matter of fact, we earn the opposite of that gift. And that is why it is by the grace of God that we are given the gift, that we were born again, that we are adopted. Our mouths, our throats, and our hearts are an open grave, and none is righteous. And maybe, depending on the conversation, we'll end here and pick up at the next one next week. So any thoughts about that? Any questions? In the New Testament, yeah. Right. Yeah. And that whole passage, yeah, 9 is pulled out a full time, 14 is pulled out a few times, but Paul's just taking a few different psalms and piecing them together to make his thesis case of saying, and as he works through probably the most beautiful message of the gospel, that Romans 1, we all know that God is there. We all can see the evidences of him, but none of us are good. We're all evil. And he moves on to say, those who, we talked about Ordo Salutis, the order of salvation last week in chapter 8, to say, okay, this is how it works. Chapter 10, now if you confess and believe in your heart that Christ is the Lord, you will be saved. And he just works this out beautifully. So if you go home and just read through Romans, a lot of this will start working out in your own head. Let's do Romans 5:12, and I think we'll end there. And I'll read it. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all, then, because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there's no law. So I'll read just 12 again as you're flipping. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, that is, Ben, as you alluded to a few times, Adam, and death through sin, and so death spread to all, then, because all sinned. Okay, so what he's doing is saying, okay, one man fell, brought sin into the world. Since we all came from him, we have all died along as similarly to what Adam had done. And through sin, so death spread to us because all have sinned. So that mind of, this isn't just, okay, well, we're just evil people. It's, we're utterly evil. We are utterly lost. We are utterly dead in our sins and trespasses. Okay, and something else needs to happen. And that'll start coming up over the next probably six passages we go to next week. But okay. Started to disintegrate. I really wanted to answer but good. They don't hear it because you don't have the microphone. So, yeah. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for those who came and have been coming.